evening to start with especially. They're all pretty much in the book of Genesis. Well, I shouldn't say all, but many of them are in the book of Genesis. We'll look at several there. Last week I mentioned that Israel is the hub of the center of the world. One lady said, Pastor, I just love that Bible study. Can I get a copy of your notes? So I said, sure, you can have a copy of my notes. So I'll give them to her when I remember to tell Melissa. So anyway, I make a copy of mine, but there's two things. I don't know what I did with them. And B, I probably threw them away. And B, I don't know how to run a copier. So I can't make a copy even if I wanted to. So, but I'll tell Melissa to and I'll get them to her. But I mentioned that Israel is the only nation whose path is detailed in the scriptures. Now, there were four, and we looked at these last year, but so some of this is going to be a little bit repetition. But there were four miracle prophecies about Israel in her land. So, Pastor, why do you repeat sometimes about Israel? Because Israel is still the apple of God's eye. Secondly, about a little over a year now, there's going to be an election coming up. And I don't care who the candidate is that runs for president, if they're pro-Israel, they're probably going to get my vote. But I can promise you this, if they're anti-Israel, they're not going to get my vote. It's just not going to happen. So we watch them, and we watch them carefully, and I want our church folks to understand how important Israel is to God's plan and God's prophecy, and really the whole history of the world centers around Israel. So let's talk about a couple of these things. First of all, let's think about the prophecy of Israel's miraculous generation. And I want you to look here in Genesis chapter 18. So God gave Abraham is the father of the Jewish people, the promise of a son, and he also gave him the promise of the land to be his own. So where do I want to go? Verse 18 of chapter 18. Seeing then that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, I want you to think about something. Have all the nations of the earth been blessed in him? They have. And we'll explain a little bit more of that how in just a little bit later on. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Now, let's go back a few chapters to chapter 12 and verse 3, again to remind you some of this. God said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curses thee, and thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And the earth, the people of the earth, have very much been blessed by the children of Israel. And as Christians, us especially. I probably want to say this later, but I might as well say it again now. Where do you think the Savior came from? Came from the Jewish nation. Look at chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 16. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now that's really something that the Lord would say that. So when Abraham was 100, and his wife Sarah was 90, God gave them a miracle child. Do you know every Jew alive is the direct result of a miracle birth? Which is a little bit amazing to me because you would think that the Jewish friends should have no difficulty believing in the virgin birth, a miracle birth, because every one of them is the result of a miracle birth. And yet, they don't all accept that virgin birth, do they? Now, that's the miracle of the generation of the Jewish people. But then there is the promise. God promised Abraham a land for his people. God himself gave Abraham the land, and we call that land Israel. And he gave it irrevocably. That is, it will always be Israel. Now, some people question this. I had a guy actually tell me this a while ago. We were talking about all the stuff in the Middle East, and this is what he said. They should just do away with Israel. Blow them right off the earth, and there'll be no more problems in the Middle East. And I said, you'll have more problems after that than you ever want to deal with, I'll tell you that. But the Bible has a lot to say with this land thing. Then go back to chapter 12 and verse 1. And I think most of you know this, it's just repetition. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And so God sends him out, chapter 13, and Abraham obeys and he goes and he's going to show him a land. In verse 14, it says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thou thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, and so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And then look at chapter 15, and again, I told you I was going to read a lot of scriptures, but I want you to notice. Verse 13. This is a little length here. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, what's he talking about there? Egypt. When Israel was in Egypt for 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. So that nation that God's going to judge is the nation of Egypt. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. And historically, we know they have. But when this was written, it was prophetical. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. That was to reestablish the covenant. You should know that. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites. You got all these ite people in here, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims. I don't know why they got a name without an ite on the end of it, but anyway, they did. So God's going to give them all of this land. Now, go back to verse 14 for a second. And also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge. Did God judge them? And afterward shall they come out with great substance. Did God judge Israel, and did they come out with great substance? They did. Okay, and verse 16, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. So where are they going to go again? Well, that's the land of Canaan. Now, go to chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Go all the way down to verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. With Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Now I want you to quickly turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And one verse 4. Speak not thou in thine heart after the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Now, some people say something like this. Why does God want to bless Israel and not everybody else? That's not a true statement. God wants to bless everybody else through Israel. God wants to bless us through the Jews. God didn't choose the Jews to be a reservoir to pour all of his blessings into. He chose the Jews to be a pipeline through which he would send his blessings to all of the world. And so when God made a covenant to Abraham, he said, through you shall all the nations of the world be blessed. They were to minister the message of God to the world. Now, you think about this. I thank the Lord for the Jews. Our Bible came from the Jewish people. Our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, came from the Jewish people. God chose them to be a blessing to the entire world. And if you want to know what God's up to, I said this last week, you keep your eyes on the Jews. But then there is another prophecy, and that is the prophecy of Israel's miraculous preservation. Not only did God bring Israel into being as a miracle nation, God keeps them as a miracle nation. Now, we read from Psalm 89, but I want you to turn back there. This is like God's heart in the whole thing. So let me read a few verses there one more time. Verse 18. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of thy people. I have found David my servant, and my holy oil have I anointed him. So he says the descendants of David, they're going to endure. Now I want you to go down, if you would, with me, please, and look in verse 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments. Now, I hate to say this, but I want you to think about this. They have forsaken God's law. There were times when the Jews had forsaken God's law, and they did not walk according to his judgments. Verse 31, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, they've done that. The Jews are guilty of that. Verse 32, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. You know what? God has done that. They have been chastised severely. Now look at verse 34. My covenant will I not break. So while they broke God's laws and they broke God's statutes and they did all these foolish things, you know what God said? My covenant will I not break, nor after the thing that has gone out of my lips. God said, I'm going to do this and God's going to do it. And even though Israel sinned awfully, God still said, I'm still going to keep my covenant. Now, I did circle this word. Look at verse 33. Nevertheless. Isn't that a wonderful word in there? Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer his faithfulness to fail. You read all the way down there to verse 37 if you want to. But God said, nevertheless, they're not going to be eliminated. God has said the Jews would be, and they are going to be forever. Now, he said they'd be dispersed. They were dispersed. He said they'd be discredited. They were discredited. But you know what? You can't destroy them. You cannot destroy the Jews. They may be chastised than they have been. They may suffer, and they have. But God said, I will keep my covenant. I will keep my word to David. And he said, his seed shall endure. Now, they've gone through some hard things. Look at what Jeremiah said about this thing over there in Jeremiah chapter 31. When somebody tells me we ought to just blow up Israel, I just, like, get angry. It's so stupid. I want you to look at verse 35 and 36 and 37. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars of the light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Now I want you to give you a simple interpretation of that. Is the sun going to stop shining? Is the moon going to be done away with? Well, then Israel's not going anywhere. There's a simple interpretation. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out of beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. But they can't, and God won't. You can't get rid of Israel any more than you can get rid of the sun, the moon, and the stars. You'd have to get rid of those first. Not going to happen. Now, they exist as a miracle nation. That is, they live on. God has preserved them, and God always will preserve them. The Jews are here today because of God's keeping, preserving power. Now, you've probably thought about this before, but you think about history. Satan, Israel's ancient foe, has tried to eradicate this nation and get rid of them on more than one occasion. It was the time in Haman and all that. They were down to not much, right? But he never could. Haman couldn't execute them. The dictators of this world have not been able to annihilate them. Hitler slaughtered millions, but he couldn't annihilate them. And in our day, you have people like Iran, the nutcases over in North Korea. They want Israel annihilated. But you know what? They can't do it. God said they can't do it, and they can't do it. Now, the nations of this world have not been even able to assimilate the Jews in their cultures. You ever think about that? When other people are taken from their homeland, you ever meet a Yankee that moved down south? They start talking like a Southerner. They get the draw. They get the accent. You know, the Jews remain Jews. Now, Marty, you came from over by New England, and you still have that accent, this thing going there.
I don't have an accent. You
is that what it is? But you take some of these people from their homeland, and they become what they are. They get scattered everywhere. They become absorbed and assimilated into the culture of their new location. And quite frankly, you can't trace them. But since the beginning of the Hebrew nation, wherever they were found, they kept themselves together. They maintained their traditions. They maintained their laws. They maintained their statues. They maintained even their language. Have you ever been to New York City and they talk in Hebrew? And if you get on an airplane, they're talking in Hebrew. You can't understand what they're saying, but they're talking in Hebrew. God preserved them as a nation, as a very identifiable people. You can identify them when you see them. God said he would visit their iniquity with stripes, and he has. They suffered under Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, the Greeks, Nero, the Romans, under the Turks, under Hitler. They've suffered under Russia, all the Arab nations that surround them to this day, but they have endured because God said that they would endure. Now, they have been pretty indestructible. But I'm going to tell you something else about Israel. I'm going to read you some facts in a moment. They have made a mark in this world. They are not big in number. They are, listen, Hebrew population, 0.2% of the world. That's less than one. Yet, 22% of all Nobel Peace Prize winners have been Jews. So 0.2%, but 22% of the Nobel Peace Prize winners have been Jews. I said they've made an impact. In 2013, I read this recently, 6 of the 12, the literary awards, what do they call those things? You know, they got a special name for it. Laureates, or however you say it. Anyway, were Jewish, 6 out of the 12 in 2013. They win a high percentage of awards in medicine, health, music, public life. They've made a real mark on our world. Did you know they've had a part in America? Some Jews financed Christopher Columbus when he set sail for the West. A Jew financed that. Of his crew members, the first to set foot on American soil was a Jew. Did you know that a Jew by the name of Haim Salomon financed George Washington in the Revolutionary War? Adrian Rogers said that the other day. Ever taken aspirin? Frederick, pick a name, Bayer. They give it away, right? Frederick Bayer, his company developed aspirins. Do you know he was a Jew? Did you know that the polio vaccine that probably all of us here, most all of us, have taken when we were a child was established by a Jew? In fact, there are two types of polio vaccines. There's the shot and there's the oral kind. What's her name? Salk and Sabin. They came up with those. Have you ever had a dentist drill My poor brother John. I remember I won't chase this rabbit too far, but we told him, you go to the dentist, man, they get a drill out and they get you right in a headlock and they just start grinding. His first dentist appointment, he went running out the house right through the window of the door. Boy, my mother was mad at us. We poured it on hard. I mean, he never did go to the dentist that day. We were terrible. But anyway, did you ever go to the dentist and, you know, he's going to drill on one of your cavities, or if you're like me, a lot of your cavities, and you get Novocaine? Did you know a Jew invented that Novocaine? And, I mean, it's just unbelievable what they've done. Antibiotics, a lot of them been invented by Jews. Even the founder of the Salvation Army. Who was the founder of the Salvation Army? William Booth. He had a Jewish mother. And when the Salvation Army was established, they were a good Christian organization. They're not a social club like they are today. It's really something, though, the mark that God's chosen people have had in the world out of a little bitty pond. And it's a small pond, 0.2%. Jews are responsible for being the first to discover the electromagnetic waves, the transmitter, the first laser, antihistamines. I'm allergic to those, but they invited them anyway. Anti-leukemia drugs, the electron microscope, vaccines against cholera, the bubonic plague. I won't want to give them credit for this. Cell phone stuff, nuclear fusion reactors, and even the process of MRIs all come from the Jewish people. They have made an impact on this world. Six Jewish men have had dramatically impacted our history. Some of them good, some of them not so good. Moses has impacted the world's history. The great apostle Paul. Did you know Karl Marx was a Jew? That's hard to believe, isn't it? But Karl Marx was a Jew. Sigmund Freud, he was a Jew. Albert Einstein was a Jew. But the greatest of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a Jew. And throughout all these centuries, though scattered abroad, they remain an identifiable people. So they have a miraculous preservation. They have a miraculous generation. You know what Israel is? Israel is a miracle. And you just keep your eyes on them. It is stunning. I think Pat Carnicelli was the first person that told me it's amazing how many Nobel Peace Prize winners were Jewish. So I thought, well, I would check that out. And then I got this whole list of things somewhere. And it is. It's rich. It's amazing what they have contributed to our world. Now, God's had to get on their case sometimes. It's like he might have to get on our case once in a while. But God has preserved them. Father, thank you for your people. We watch them. We watch them closely. We know how crazy things are in that part of the world, and we know they're going to be crazy until the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes. But until that time, Lord, we are to love Israel. We should support that nation. We should be a blessing to them. That's what your word told us to be, and I pray that we will. And I pray that no one in our church ever gets to the place in their life where they want to turn their back on the apple of your eye. In Jesus' name, amen. I got 3 minutes.